Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I am Kenneth Amendori, and we're going to be joined today with a very special guest, Dan McDermott of ChartGuys.com. This is an incredible group focused on technical trading and making money in the markets, and who doesn't love that? So we're going to get some real insight on what is going on fundamentally from a technical perspective. Are things that are happening fundamentally being shown on the charts? I think that'll be an interesting discussion today. So we're going to be getting Dan's insight on this. His website is chartguys.com. Check out the link. We're going to hear more about it here in this interview. But without any further ado, Dan, thanks for coming on the show with me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Well, let's start here. You know, unemployed Americans, I think that's just the most fundamental thing we can think of when it comes to the markets. I saw a headline this morning, the $600 weekly boost for unemployed Americans there's more money being spent by this demographic of people now than before the pandemic because of this $600 unemployment additional check. I mean, that's not counting what the states are giving as well. That's the federal. So, I mean, we've had over 45 million people file unemployment claims. That's roughly 30% of the 160 million workforce economy. So starting here, I mean, what are your thoughts on, you know, how big of a deal this is?
It's definitely a big deal. It's the kind of thing where, you know, perception is so important in markets. And I feel like there's so many varying perceptions on what's going on based on your experiences. So, you know, if I'm in a little bubble and my friend group's fine and I don't know anybody with COVID, and it's a very different perspective than someone who's had an uncle die and they've been laid off work and their friends are struggling to pay rent. So I feel like there's so many different perceptions on what is actually going on that, you know, it makes it so hard to grasp big picture. What is this doing to not only the country's economy, but the world economy? It's a significant impact. How significant an impact is it? That's hard to say. And we're going to have everybody making their guesses, and they are all guesses, and some people will be right and most people will be wrong. So my approach with trading and with life in general is just always a wait and see approach, and, you know, make our best educated guesses. It's clearly something that is unusual, and we cannot really look to history as a guide. There's some examples, but not really many. And it's wait and see mode for me as far as what these ripple effects are going to have, bigger picture.
So I know you're alluding to this, but I'd like to get your thoughts on what is going on with the markets. Is the markets telling us something's problematic in the economy, or are you seeing from a technical perspective, bullishness, bearishness? I got to tell you, I have a friend who makes money trading professionally, and he's just like, he is in that kind of wait and see mode as well. But when he looks at the markets, he's like, the charts are saying either we're going to do a moonshot or things are in for a significant crash. So it's not like this middle ground scenario we're in. So what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely my perspective as well. I've always traded viewing it as honestly a video game where the economy is one thing and the market is the other. For me, they're completely separate. I don't really have that attachment. And you've got this spectrum where you got fundamental traders and you got technical traders, and there's a million different points on this spectrum that you can be. And I'd say there's only two wrong places to be on that spectrum: 100% fundamental or 100% technical. And, you know, I'd probably be 80% technical, 20% fundamental, and there's other people on the other side who are doing just fine. But for me, the psychology of trading, it has really helped me to just completely separate the two. Mm. And I'm viewing things on the chart, and I'm viewing it on a day-to-day basis, and I'm not thinking, you know, big picture fundamentals and big picture economy. Because right now, honestly, the last 5 months are essentially one of the biggest advertisements for technical analysis that I've ever seen, in my opinion, because there's so many charts and there's so many recoveries that are just mind-boggling to people. How is this happening? And the Fed has a lot to do with it, and, you know, the steps that they've been taking. But for me, it's, we're at a point right now where the most likely pattern that I see is what I call an equilibrium, which is a tightening range. After a ton of volatility, you got a big move up, you got a big drop down, and then you trade within a tightening range. And that happens on all kinds of time frames all the time in these markets. But through my experience of watching the S&P 500, I have learned that if anybody is going to do the less likely scenario, it's going to be the S&P 500 because, in my opinion, the Fed is backing it up essentially. And so we can absolutely go to all-time highs from here. I'm still seeing a good bit of strength, the tech sector and all these all-time highs out of Amazon, Netflix, Apple. And we're also seeing the makeup of the S&P 500 shift. It used to be the financial sector as the second largest holding, and now that's dropped down to the fourth largest holding. So they're shedding the weaker sectors and they're putting more weight into the tech sector, which is stronger. And that's certainly having an impact on the resiliency of the S&P 500 as well.
Absolutely. Well, and it's one of these things, when you look at the markets, you look at what's happening, you know, this big disconnect with what's going on Main Street, what's going on in the markets. And it's just so hard to get a feel for what the average person is dealing with, because sure, you have the NASDAQ going up, but it's because it's enveloping so many smaller businesses as well. And so you have that dynamic happening where you got the bigger companies getting bigger, the smaller companies getting smaller. You know, you can touch on that. I'm going to actually, if you want to respond to that, go ahead. Because I have something else I wanted to go, and it's a different, completely different direction.
Okay. I mean, yeah, you're right. We're seeing even just the policies with what we're seeing in from town to town, where, you know, Walmart and Amazon are essentially getting extra business as it's a lot harder for the small local businesses to stay open. So as far, I know me personally, once this all started, my spending on Amazon did go up, and my grocery bills went up a little bit. I'm eating out less, and I live in a town that is definitely a tourist economy. So we are seeing a bit of a funnel effect where the major players are getting the money, and it is those dominating companies that make up such large holdings in our NASDAQ or S&P 500, whatever it is, that is leading to the S&P 500 seeing this significant recovery where so many people were looking for significant bearish action.
Yeah. You touched on the volatility in this environment and that technical trading is just going through the roof. And I'd like you to touch on that. I mean, why? I understand for people who know what they're doing, but why is it that in this environment where the average person thinks they can just jump in and trade the markets just because it's going up and down? Is it just, does it look so obvious? You know, oh my gosh, the market just went down 2,000 points. It's probably going to go up 500. I can make easy money on that. I mean, what's the psychology going on for people wanting to become day traders in times like this?
So yeah, I mean, it's the lifestyle. I mean, people want that lifestyle. Oh, I can click buttons from home and make money. And that's very alluring to a lot of people. But, and the honestly, one of the most detrimental things that can happen to someone is they make a good bit of money first thing. And, you know, in their first 2 months or 3 months, and they say, I can do this. And then they make, you know, they quit their job or whatever, change their lifestyle. And then the market environment shifts and it's completely different. And that's where it gets really dangerous. So this is the kind of thing where you have to treat it like any other profession. You know, if I want to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, I'm putting in 10,000 plus hours of education, practice, and that's what it takes. And you have to be able to trade through different environments, not only bull markets, but certainly when it goes down as well, you need to know how to protect, you need to know how to limit risk. And we're going to see, unfortunately, in my opinion, you know, we've got all these traders that are flocking to Robinhood and they're making money because things are going up right now. But there will come a time and a reckoning where, you know, they're going to get their butts handed to them and that will be their lesson. The question is, the ones that can learn from that first hurt, those are the ones that will stick around, because you have to, you know, everybody learns their lessons through pain. It's just, can you limit that pain and can you learn from it fast enough that it doesn't knock you out of this game?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I play poker, and poker, I just feel like there's so much to learn from it. I mean, you can do a lot of different things. I mean, I also play golf, and you know, when you hit your ball in the woods, or you know, you go down a few hands. I mean, how you manage your money, right? How you manage your emotions, and then when you do go down, are you trying to go for the moon to get yourself back? And so much of that happens in the markets. And just like you said, you might win big right in your first couple hands there. And you think you're a genius and then you, you lose everything. And then there's that dynamic as well, where you win a little bit and you're like, oh, I need to throttle it up. And then you lose everything that you won in the beginning. Right. So, My goodness, what the psychology of trading, bull markets, bear markets. It's interesting how the markets wash and rinse investors. And it's so frustrating, right? It's so easy to look at a chart and go, oh my gosh, so obvious to buy the dip and ride it up. But in the moment, markets are just toying with investors, inflicting maximum pain. It's almost like that's the job, and it's your job as the investor to really be resilient through that and understand it and have like mental toughness to get through it.
It really is. And just to touch back on your analogy with poker, I'm a former poker player myself, and that's a great analogy. I actually have a YouTube video saying how technical analysis is like poker. There's so many analogies and so much to learn. And we have, you know, a ton of Chart Guys members are poker players. So having that risk management, and you have to deal with your emotions, that's almost like a nice precursor to learning to trade. It almost gives people a head start. But you're right, it's emotions. It's maximum euphoria, straight to maximum fear, and then back to maximum euphoria again. And it is that rinse and repeat. And it's the newer traders that are new to those emotions that react to them. And it's the veteran traders that say, okay, I've seen, you know, 10,000 charts. I've seen this setup happen before. I know the most likely scenario. I know that I am, you know, I still feel those emotions. I just don't react to them. So I can recognize that euphoria and say, oh, I know that euphoria. I know what that means. I should lock in some profit. And it's the newer traders that don't know what it means. They feel that euphoria and they're blinded by it, or they feel the fear and they lock up. They are unable to act. So you have to go through a couple rounds, learn from the mistakes, learn how to play the game. And then it's the more veteran traders that are able to honestly take the money of the newer people that are reacting to their emotions in the extreme scenarios.
I'd like to get your thoughts on what's going on with the money supply, how that's impacting valuations. I know this is going back to a fundamental perspective, but maybe show, I don't know if this is something you've looked into much. I mean, but with the injections that we're seeing into the economy, are you seeing that reflected in the charts, in the movement of stocks? And I mean, has it changed your opinion? Has it confirmed any biases, or you know, what are your thoughts on the valuations we're seeing, you know, the movements, bearish or bullish, with what the Fed is doing directly?
It definitely has a major impact. And again, it's a safety net that is, it impacts the psychology of traders and investors, where as soon as we see, okay, the Fed's, you know, pumping money into the market again, that leads to bulls being more confident. And we could see, in my opinion, the speed of the V-shaped recovery from the low of the COVID dump absolutely has a major impact from what the Fed has been doing. And as soon as that injection started, and as soon as everybody said, oh, okay, the safety net is coming, it allowed for a lot more liberal, bullish trading to take place. So I do believe there is a significant impact as to what the Fed is doing. And it's again, more of the unknown. It's the biggest economic experiment in history. We don't know how it's going to turn out. They're making the rules. I view it all as a giant game. They're the rule makers. And, you know, I had friends that are waiting for the impending doom. Maybe it's going to come. But my message to them when things were at their peak for fear at the bottom of the COVID dump is, don't underestimate the ability of the rule makers' ability to stay in this game and kick the can down the road and keep this game going. Mm. And we're seeing that, at least for now.
Well, and this is a follow-up to that, talking about the Fed's involvement and how dependent the world is on this bond market. And maybe it's just something that you don't really focus on. You're just there to take what the information is and trade off of it. But in your opinion, how vulnerable is our world to the breakdown in the credit markets based on how reactive the government is to the bond market?
There's definitely, I mean, that is a major risk, and the amount of capital that is involved in the bond market and the credit market is astounding. And as you alluded to it, that's my viewpoint. I honestly, you know, I've placed thousands of trades in my decade career. I have never once made any decision based off the bond market. So it's just not in my wheelhouse as far as influencing what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis as mostly a short-term trader. But bigger picture, you know, if we're going to be talking about as systemic problems with the economy, it is definitely something to be aware of. And it's something that is on my long list of, you know, this market, there is always something to be learning about. You can never understand everything with this market. So for me, bonds and the credit market is definitely at the top of my list of things that I want to understand better in my free time of understanding the fundamentals. Because again, having that kind of background, even if I'm a major technical trader, is very important. So I don't have a ton of experience with bonds and the credit market. I know it's greatly important by the amount of capital that is at play there. But as far as speaking from experience, not really in my wheelhouse.
Let's talk about gold. Gold in 2020, we've seen gold play out very strongly, one of the best performing assets in 2020. So what are your thoughts on it? Fundamental perspective, technical perspective. Are you bullish on gold? Is it something you save in? I mean, you make your money trading, you know, do you save in gold at all?
I definitely diversify. I have been bullish the metals. We were watching a long drawn out. Again, I mentioned the equilibrium pattern, which is just a tightening range. And gold had that for 2 years on the long-term monthly time frame. And we knew a break was coming. I don't really make predictions. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It's a wait and see kind of thing. So I said, all right, this is tightening up. We're either going to break out or break down. The bull break happened, got bullish gold. So, you know, whether it's physical or whether it's trading through GLD or other instruments, I have had some exposure and made some decent money on gold recently. Silver is now catching up to gold. And I think it is important. It's a one thing that I don't like about the recent gold action is it seems that when the fear hits the market, we obviously saw it on the COVID dump, and even just on there haven't been many big red days in the market recently, but when it happens, gold, it appears on the short-term timeframes, is correlating down with the S&P 500. So a lot of people, the fundamental narrative is, you know, it's a hedge. It's a hedge against the equities or a hedge against the dollar. But if it's going to drop when we see fear spike in the S&P 500, that makes me a little bit less inclined to have extra weight in that asset if, you know, I'm looking at a more diversified approach to my portfolio. So I am keeping an eye on that. It's been performing really well. You know, we're looking at the all-time high now is really the next major resistance. And once something hits all-time highs, as Bitcoin showed us in the past, it can go wild really quickly. Tesla is showing that. So I love blue sky breakouts. And gold does have its sight set on blue sky breakouts, and we'll see if it can get there in the short term.
I love that. Yeah, and that's what's interesting about it. And I'll throw this at you. Maybe you have some thoughts on this. You know, gold did move down in those liquidity events, but it seemed to recover quick. As the chips start to settle, people started to pile into gold. Any thoughts on that as terms of like maybe there's just an immediate sell-off, flight to cash, people sell everything, but then as the chips settle, gold recovered quicker than most other assets?
Absolutely. And that's a lesson that I learned. Again, I've been trading for 10 years. I'm in my early 30s. I'm young, and this was my first event. You know, I wasn't trading during 2008. I started right after it. So for me, this was a very big learning experience, and I will absolutely be buying dips. You know, everybody, I did it too. I went into turtle mode where I just tucked my arms and my head in, and I went to cash, and that was my life raft. And I did not get as aggressive as I will next time because now I have the history to go off of. But Bitcoin and gold, both huge dumps with the S&P 500, but very significant rallies. And it was just that initial wave of fear. And as soon as that wave passed, significant opportunity. So I will be ready for that opportunity next time, that's for sure.
Well, you alluded to, we've already talked about tech stocks. I was going to bring that up. But let's move to Bitcoin. What are your thoughts on Bitcoin? Do you like Bitcoin in general? And just what are your thoughts on it in 2020 here? Is it something you're bullish on fundamentally, or is it just a technical thing that, you know, if it does what it does, you're agnostic to it?
I definitely am a fan of Bitcoin. I got introduced right at the right time in May 2017, and I was trading cryptocurrency very actively on an everyday basis. I was setting my alarm 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning to wake up and trade that volatility because I knew it would not last. And it went very, very well. So I will always have a special place in my heart for cryptocurrency.
You're tainted. You made money in Bitcoin.
I am tainted. But honestly, my previous experiences of trading hype markets allowed me, you know, I wasn't standing out by making a lot of money in crypto because everybody did. What I stood out is because I kept it because I knew that the top is going to be hit and I'm not emotionally attached to this asset. I like the story behind it, but I am not going to ride this ship down. So at this point, I am allocating a percentage. It's a small percentage, maybe 1.5% of my net worth is in cryptocurrency, and that's no touch. I'm just letting it do its thing. And I have capital allocated needed if we have, you know, a dollar collapse, if we have some kind of event where we do see a flight. Like I said, the life raft recently was the US dollar during this COVID dump. If that life raft is no longer there and I need to go to another life raft and Bitcoin is shaping up, I do have capital that I will very quickly move to significantly increase my exposure into the cryptocurrency space. At the moment, again, small no-touch position, mostly cash, patiently waiting, because it is in a tightening longer-term monthly time frame as well. And we have a clear resistance at 10,500, 10,400 was a little bit of a double top recently. I'm just patiently waiting. And it's another thing that has been fairly correlated to the S&P 500. And I've been watching for that correlation from the first day I started trading it, May 2017, and I was watching for it for years, and it was very rarely there. And when it was for a couple days. But since the COVID dump, I've been seeing more correlation between the S&P 500 and Bitcoin than I've ever seen before. And that's something that I'm very aware of as well. You know, if we're going to see the S&P 500 pull back significantly, if Bitcoin's going to drop significantly as well, it's almost like that narrative of safe haven is lost to a certain degree. And my opinion on why that is I have no doubt that, you know, the algos and bots and high frequency traders are linking correlations between the markets and their automated trading systems in a very illiquid market of cryptocurrency comparative to stocks. It's having a significant impact what those bots that are trading are doing.
Right. Well, that's definitely an interesting thing that we're seeing here. I know a lot of people were having to having a coming to God moment and questioning their faith in crypto, watching Bitcoin do what it did with the markets, but it was very, very resilient following the crash. It recovered quickly. And I think it's just the long-term outlook from that build out, if you believe in it and you don't think it's just some sort of Beanie Baby trend. Yep. Which I believe in it strongly. So Dan, thank you so much for coming on the show with me today. If you want to share some closing thoughts here on just some of the things we talked about, maybe some advice on how to approach markets, that psychology that we were talking about, I think that would be a great way to finish. And of course, please let people know where they can go and what they will find if they visit chartguys.com.
Sure thing. So the takeaway is what we do is technical analysis and trading education. And that's what I want to harp on, education. If you want to do this game, you know, if you're having some fun for a couple months, that's one thing. But if you want to play this game for a couple decades and have it be a potential source where you can make capital and ideally improve your economic livelihood, then education is essential. And you have to put in the thousands of hours. And as you said, the psychology is the untold aspect of trading that you have to master. And I am fascinated by psychology. I loved in college, one of my favorite courses was industrial psychology. And you have to understand that aspect of things, again, if you're going to do this long-term, because you're going to go on the emotional roller coaster playing this game, and you have to know how to manage those emotions. And in my opinion, if you are able to manage those emotions, it has ripple effects to benefit your life as a whole. You know, you're going to be standing there and you're going to be able to zoom out and recognize, I'm getting angry that this guy just cut me off. And maybe, you know, I'll take a step back and realize it's not as big a deal. So I have noticed in my life that there have been significant benefits from the practices that I need to hammer down as a trader, having bigger picture impact on my life as a whole. As far as how to check out stuff out, I suggest our YouTube channel. Look up the Chart Guys. We put out constantly putting out free content. I do daily updates of the S&P 500. I put out the cryptocurrency technical analysis videos. Also interested in the marijuana sector, which had a lot of hype in Canada and just patiently waiting for the US to get that ball rolling. So chartguys.com, we've got courses. We got a free course for starting out to learn technical analysis, and YouTube Chart Guys. Look forward to hearing from you.
All right. Well, Dan McDermott, everyone. Dan, thanks so much for coming on the show with me today and sharing your insight.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.